야 할렐루야 할렐루야
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus, "Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received. Without cost you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Throughout this first week of Advent, the Church has us focus on the double dynamism, not just Christ coming in the past, the present, and the future, history, mystery, and majesty, but how we're supposed to go out intentionally and in our actions to meet him in each of these three ways. But today there's a shift toward that third movement of Advent, in which, so transformed by that encounter with the Lord, that we start to go out with him. Let's look. Today's gospel, we see not only the reason why Jesus cured so many of the sick on that mountainside in Galilee, but why he came into the world in the first place. At the sight of the multitudes, his heart was moved with pity for them because they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. God looked on the world with mercy. He looked on us with mercy. And that's why he came. When he did come, he was fulfilling exactly what Isaiah had prophesied in today's first reading. That when we cry out, he will be gracious to us. In fact, he would be grace incarnate. As soon as he hears, he will answer, and he will come as that answer. He will give you the bread you need. He would become that living bread come down from heaven. The water for which you thirst, he would become that living water flowing up within us to eternal life. No longer will your teacher hide himself, but with your own eyes you shall see your teacher. And he would come as that master, saying, "Many eyes longed to see what you see, but didn't see it, and to hear what you hear, but didn't hear it. A voice shall sound in your ears from behind, 'This is the way, walk in it,' when you would turn to the right or toward the left." And Jesus would become that way. And he wouldn't just say from behind, "This is the straight path, take it." But he would walk in front of us, saying, "I am the way, follow me." Out of the Lord's extraordinary compassion, he would do all of these things. Our response to his coming precisely to do all of that is to long, to prepare ourselves to receive, to embrace in such a way that we will be transformed. response for our psalm today was, blessed are all who wait for the Lord. That we are blessed in that waiting. Because that waiting across the time, across the century, through that holy longing, through that hunger of faith, that we're prepared more deeply to be changed as He comes. And the way He wants us to be changed is totally. He wants us ultimately to share His compassion for the multitudes who are mangled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. He wants us to hear with Him the cries for God's graciousness and become part of that reply. He wants us to give them something to eat. He wants us to recognize their incredible thirst and to bring them Him who is the living water. He wants us to pass on His teaching. He wants us, in the way that we follow Him who is the way, to become real signposts for the entire world about the path to happiness. Today's gospel, after Jesus tells them that the harvest is abundant but the laborers are few, so asked the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. And they began that prayer which continues to this day. He, Stottin, called them as an answer to that prayer, summoning the 12 disciples, giving them authority over the unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and illness, to preach that the kingdom was at hand, and to continue Christ's messianic deeds. Everything that Isaiah had prophesied that the Messiah would do, they were given authority to do. We were given authority to do in the church. He wanted us to have that gut-bursting mercy. That's the third movement of Advent, in which, having embraced the Lord, we share His compassion. Today we celebrate one of the most extraordinary illustrations of what can happen when somebody begins to share that depth of compassion. St. Francis Xavier was a bright Basque who was basically living the high life at the University of Paris till he got a roommate much older than he, who was serious about the things that mattered, who limped around, Ignatius of Loyola. And over the course of time, Francis was won by Ignatius, became one of the first seven Jesuits, became Ignatius's right hand in Rome, until there was a letter that came from the King of Portugal asking for missionaries to go to India. And because of other problems, and Ignatius didn't have anybody to whom he could turn, he asked Francis, would you be willing to go, knowing that he would never see him again? Francis said, of course, and left the following day. And Francis, as we prayed in the opening prayer today, that we would be filled with his same zeal, the zeal that brought not just many people to the Lord, but many peoples to the Lord. He went to India and all along the coasts for years, bringing tens of thousands a day to the Lord, baptizing until his arms were ready to fall off, teaching the little kids through music how to be his assistant catechists, singing these hymns all throughout the area, helping them to learn how to walk in the way of the Lord, trying to reform all the Portuguese, who many of whom were lecherous, many of whom were scandals to the true faith, the way that they lived far away from what they called civilization. But it wasn't enough for him just to become the father of a whole continent. Off he went to Japan to do the same thing, and we're going to have a chance later on in this month, when Martin Scorsese's movie Silence comes on out, to see the real fruit of his work and the power of the witness of the Japanese martyrs. But after his time there in Japan, still wasn't enough to be the father of two whole nations. He looked toward China and he said, I must bring the gospel there too. And he died on the shores of China because of the neglect of those who were bringing him there. He sheared Christ's unbelievable compassion on the crowds. He had an extraordinary hunger to feed their hunger for God. And he's an example for us. We all read this morning in the Office of Readings one of his many letters back home that revolutionized the church in Europe, because he was calling them to put their feet where their faith was. Wasn't just enough to pray for the mission. Wasn't just enough to give some money toward the missionaries so that they could do their work. But the Lord was calling us all to be missionaries. St. Philip Neri, reading those letters as a layman in Rome with a Cistercian spiritual director, he immediately wanted to go to help Francis Xavier in that mission. And his spiritual director told him, no, Rome would be your Indies. And he was ordained a priest, and he became the great apostle of Rome. We're not necessarily being asked to go to Papua New Guinea, but we are asked to make Manhattan our Indies. St. Francis said that he would like to return, at least for a brief moment, to the University of Paris and begin to cry out like a madman that there are vast multitudes who know that they're Christians but don't know anything else. There are so many others who would easily become Christians if they just had somebody to help them become a Christian. But so many are dying without that gift because others have different priorities. He said, I'd like to go to my fellow former alumni at the University of Paris and say, would that your charity matched your learning. And would that you would use your learning in order to continue the Lord's charity. And he finished by saying, I would hope that they'd be able to pray in this way. Lord, send me wherever you want, even to India. Those words are indelibly scorched in my soul, because it was 2 years ago today, very early in the morning, that I was praying over those phrases. I had an appointment with Bishop de Cunha, and I knew that my life was about to change, and I had no idea how. But I went there for the meeting, and he's trying to make small talk. I try to tell bishops all the time, when you bring a priest in, don't make small talk, because he has no idea what you're about to say. So then he talks about Archbishop Bernardito Auza. And I had never heard of Archbishop Auza. I knew all the names of the archbishops in the United States and in the Vatican because I'd run a newspaper. But I had never heard of Auza. And I knew that there was an Indian, Chulakut, who was here at the United Nations. So I had no idea who he was talking about. Has asked for your help. And all of a sudden, as I think I may have told some of you, having no idea who he was, I figured he had to be a papal nuncio because those are the only other archbishops. And I saw myself in some jungle place in Africa sleeping in a mosquito net all night. And I'm remembering these words of this morning, send me wherever you want, Lord. And I was beginning to picture a much, much different life as I basically spaced out for the next 20 seconds. After I came back to it, I heard him say the words, New York, and then United Nations. And even though I did not have a high regard for the United Nations prior to that, New York and the United Nations was certainly better than mosquito nets in a place with no air conditioning and anything else. And so I readily said yes. Little did I know that the Lord would be sending me to India and to 192 other countries all at the same time. Send me wherever you want, Lord. Send me wherever you want, Lord. What a prayer that is for us, especially in the work we do. Send me wherever you want, Lord, to Visitation Convent in New York or Toronto or Philadelphia. Send me wherever you want, Lord. Out of compassion for the crowds, the Lord wants us to share his hunger so that we might bring peoples to the Lord. Let us ask this Advent that as we go out to meet the bridegroom who is coming for us, we may be so transformed by his loving mercy that we might imitate St. Francis's zeal and have our charity match our formation. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.